Chairman and committee members, Paul Don Heffner, Director of the Marine Board again. To the question of performance measurements that we were on before the drill, we'll work to fill in those holes on the targets. But I do want to make it clear that we did work with the Progress Board right from the inception of this. They helped tutor us through it, and we went back and forth with them several times in budget development to try to refine the performance measures and get them right. So,
well, and I don't want this to sound like an indictment of the effort you put into this, because I realize clearly that this is very new, and all of this was taking place over the top of all the special sessions, and so I'm really amazed that it got as far as it got, all in all.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I would point out that they do have a target for 2005, yeah, which is the end of the next biennium, so they do have a goal to work towards for measuring when it comes back next time.
Have you completed your presentation?
I'm pretty well done, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
We lost part of our committee.
We should have just stayed outside.
Any questions from the committee?
Just maybe one.
Yes, Representative Krieger.
Paul, what is the fee for to get your certification to operate a boat?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krieger, there is a one-time fee of $10, mandatory education
and
certificate.
If you're, it's to what year out to 2011 if you're over 60?
That's a good question.
Some date before the upper.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Krieger, it'll phase in by 2008, and currently it's mandatory for persons 30 and under. Next year that'll go up to 40. Then we have a break at 45 and 50 and then 60. And then everyone.
Our chair will escape to the last.
Actually, we've had
certain committee members as well.
I've already got mine.
Actually, we've had excellent compliance from older voters who either have the time or the inclination. I think they also figure that $10, if it's good for life, they'll get more of their money's worth by getting it early. So we've had excellent compliance.
It's a good program.
Okay. Any other questions? President Morgan reminded me that maybe we should put on the record, Paul, the question I asked you across the street as to if there's a bad operator in a boat, are there any courses that the Marine Board can take to pull a certificate or pull a license, and you might respond for the record.
Mr. Chairman, if somebody is a poor operator, there's nothing the agency can do to pull that mandatory education certificate. It's a certificate saying that you've received education, and so it's not a revocable certificate. The courts do have authority within our statutory scheme to direct boaters to take a boating course as a part of their sentence, and some courts do that, but we don't have any other administrative sanctions.
Thank you. All right.
Chair Masterly, members of the subcommittee. I'm not sure how much longer you want to be here today, so I would have would offer up, if we have public testimony that you might want to hear, maybe we could do that, and I could start off tomorrow with my little overview, if that's a better fit for time.
I do have two that would like to testify, if you don't mind.
Want to do that?
I'd prefer that, yes. So thank you. Appreciate your testimony. I'd like to call Brian Carroll and Phil Donovan. I assume you're on the same side of the issue. But if not, we'll hear your testimony.
Please. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders. And I'm also going to represent the Oregon Guides and Packers. But if you would, I'll just quickly speak to the Northwest Steelheaders, because we were a part of the process that Paul Don Heffner convened in terms of reviewing the budget. And I'd just like to kind of share with you, you've obviously got the written comments there, but kind of the gist of the conversation that, that took place in the interim. Largely, it was a sense of we're falling behind, and that this is obviously a user pays issue, and that boaters were very interested in seeing our facilities up kept. And you can see the majority of the monies that we're talking about go directly to facilities. And that's a big and important issue for those folks, particularly Northwest Steelheaders, many of which, most of which are operating motorized boats and therefore are registered. There was also a lot of concern about policing. Frankly, if you've ever been out on an Oregon Bay or out in the ocean and you see unsafe operators, the notion of there not being enforcement to take care of those people is a scary one, because they literally put people at great risk. We're talking about usually confined areas, and policing is a very serious matter. And, you know, further compounded, and you've already asked questions about, you know, what happens when Oregon State Police fish and game officers are taken off of the payroll and aren't available to provide that compliance. Well, an important part of all of this, of course, is this county sheriffs. And an additional benefit to what you're considering, particularly in relation to the fee increase bill, is the simplicity that we've brought to the process. It was deemed that this was a more fair way, and people could more easily understand the fees, you know, particularly if they're considering buying a vessel. Now, once you become an owner of a boat, you begin to realize that these type of fees are a very insignificant amount of your annual upkeep. Being a boat owner myself, and a couple of the members of the committee have referenced the fact that they own craft, they can appreciate exactly how expensive it can be just to keep those things up and running. Now, I wanted to touch base about this issue of non-motorized vessels. This has been one that's been very challenging for an association like the Northwest Steelheaders. As I've stated, most of the members who have boats are registered. Now, you may see them at times floating down a river in a drift boat without a motor on the back, but they'll still have registration decals. That's because they'll use that same craft to go over to a bay on the Oregon coast, for example, or even to a high mountain lake and use a trolling motor to be able to putt around. Therefore, they need to be registered. However, at the same time, there are a lot of people who profess to not utilizing boating facilities like docks, access points, particularly kayakers and canoeists who can enter quite easily overland, you know, from a county road where it doesn't require the construction of a ramp, as opposed to what usually a motorized vessel would need. So if I could kind of change hats here and address a couple of issues as it relates to the Oregon Guides and Packers Association, for which I also represent. Again, the issue of non-motorized vessels is and registration of has been a difficult issue for the association to wrestle with. And that's largely because of many of these outfitters who have, you know, are rafting companies, and they are with 50, 60, 100 boats, some of which are being rentals, many of which are being guided. And in a lot of instances, they are having to register and pay on a per-boat basis as a result of Wild and Scenic Act rivers. Two notable ones there would be the Rogue and, of course, the Deschutes, where there's a boater paddle system. So in the past, when this idea has been brought up about registering non-motorized vessels, those larger outfitters have stepped up and said, we'd like some care and consideration so that as a small business, we're not put out of business, because what is seemingly a small annual fee to an individual, to a small company that has a number of boats, that may be more difficult to deal with financially. Also, as it's related to, we heard conversation earlier today about the Marine Board's work that it does in registering guides and outfitters. Just for background information, that's a $50 a year registration fee that basically is an outfitter coming to the state of Oregon and showing that they have liability insurance. And that's an important function that they serve. In years past, there have been actually efforts from within the industry to increase that fee, because we recognize that basically there's only enough money there today to cover the cost of handling the paperwork. And as such, there's really no money that's being utilized for the enforcement of what I term outlaw guides, people who aren't getting registered, aren't operating within the confines of the law. Those efforts in the past have not been able to pass muster here in the legislature. But what the chair referred to earlier about guides that have perhaps acted improperly by crossing over private property to access a river is really an issue of enforcement, and it highlights the need for this type of legislation and a funding of the Oregon Marine Board. We need that enforcement. As I referred to earlier, it's a safety and quality boating experience, but it also extends to this issue of outfitters and guides. So those are just a few thoughts I wanted to share with the committee. We'll continue to monitor the progress, and tomorrow there'll be a couple more folks here who work within the industry association to speak to their experience in the public review process. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carroll, and could you pull the mic around a little bit, please?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brian Carroll. I'm the Linn County Parks and Recreation Director and co-chair of the Legislative Committee for the Oregon Parks Association, which is an affiliation of, in this particular case, boat ramp providers, and that is our main interest here, is in the facility side of the program as well as the law enforcement. The Marine Board, as you noted earlier, they do an excellent job of providing funding out to the organizations such as the Sheriff's Departments and the County Parks that provide the majority of the boat ramps in the state of Oregon and operate them. And the last session of the legislature, I was here trying to fight for the facilities program for some of the funding that was decreasing in that. And we were the Oregon Parks Association was a major stakeholder at the meetings that Mr. Don Hefner had talked about earlier that he'd held around the state. We were very pleased with the support that we heard at those meetings for the facilities program, both from the providers as well as law enforcement. And we recognize that Mr. Don Hefner's efforts is to bring some balance and make sure that the law enforcement services as well as the facilities providers are taken care of through the Marine Board's budget. And we were very pleased with the outcome of those meetings and the budget that Mr. Don Hefner's forwarded. We were also very supportive of the Oregon Parks Association, I should say, in House Bill 2247, I believe, with the fee package increase, and that is because of what it would do for the facilities program. We would like you to reinforce the fact that the facilities program would be brought back to the 97-99 levels. This would not be necessarily an increase to the facilities program. It would just get us back to the current service level for 97.99, which is very important to us. To address also the non-motorized issue a little bit, county parks in particular, and in Linn County I provide the majority of the services for the majority of the ramps there. Any of the ramps that are currently on rivers that are pretty much free-flowing rivers that don't have large pools, like the Santa Ana River or the Rogue, the Umpqua, where you, on the upper stretches, where you see mostly drift boats or smaller craft, those ramps currently have no real funding for those. We kind of scrape that out of our general fund budgets or whatever other funding that the county parks departments have. We do receive some maintenance assistance money from the Marine Board to operate those, but it depends on how that ramp is used. And, the ramps and the acquisition of sites like that, there are currently no funding to really help those ramps out, to restore them, to do any major capital work on those ramps, or to acquire any new sites for access along those stretches of rivers that are really pretty much non-motorized, but the boating public is asking for those things. I'm working with the Northwest Steelheaders to provide access to the South San Yam on a stretch of river where they're launching over an embankment. It's a muddy four-wheel drive road, and we're scraping together what we can to work in partners with the Northwest Steelheaders to provide that ramp. And the Marine Board is helping us out with some technical assistance and some consulting, but there really isn't any money there to do that kind of work. So the members of the Oregon Parks Association would very much like to be involved in any kind of discussions on non-motorized.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Any questions, committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan.
And we'll have time tomorrow for more testimony. Okay, with that, we'll close the public hearing and adjourn the committee.
Thank you.